Hello, 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 Roaring Fork Valley, and welcome to Senior Matters. I'm Diane Johnson, your host for today's glorious Senior Matters, because seniors matter. Outside this window, beside this incredible, beautiful totem that sits out front of the building, I see gray, cool skies. What do you mean cool? It's cold out there. It's a little bit wet. A little bit sleety, it's snow. Winter is on its way to our doorsteps. And I'm bundling. Hope you are too. Hope you're keeping yourself warm and healthy. Just want to tell you a little bit about Senior Matters. Senior Matters is a nonprofit organization whose mission is to foster diverse educational and social programs for seniors of all ages. Senior Matters collaborates with agencies, organizations, and services to bring a wide variety of happenings of interest to our senior community. And our senior center is right here in downtown Carbondale at 3rd Street Center. Yay, 3rd Street Center. We have programs and activities which include Tai Chi. We have an Alzheimer's support group. We have a fun bridge group. We also have an incredible program called the Roaring Fork Brain Train. Also, our center is home to Subad Meditation, Ala Prima Art Group, and CCH Piano Classes. And our programs vary. Our center is available to rent for one-time events or ongoing classes. And we invite you to be a part of our community at 3rd Street Center. And that's about Senior Matters. Today's Senior Matters, I'm excited. And you know, when I've got a good guest that I'm going to learn from, and I know you will too, you will enjoy. My guest today is Dr. Greg Feinsinger. He's an MD. He is also the director for Center for Prevention and Treatment of Disease Through Nutrition. And today we're going to be talking about optimal healthy eating during our winter months. Most important, we shiver because it's cold. When we shiver, we need energy. Food is an energy source. Dr. Feinsinger, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me today.
Well, I'm really pleased to have you today because I do home health care. So food for my clients is really important. And many are, and all of them, not many, are seniors. And with some sort of disability, and most important is the proper type of foods that I prepare for them. And let me ask you a little bit, because what I thought of you for was when I opened up the Post yesterday and I saw your article in the Post Independence health supplement that we get about once a week, and this was your fifth article that you had written. It says, surprise, fish isn't good for you either. And I went, what is he talking about? What is he talking about? Fish isn't good for you either. So that headline drew me right into your writing and the information that you shared with us. And going on that bent, tell me. You were raised in Aspen. You're a local man. You practice as a family physician for 41 years at Glenwood Medical Associates. And during your tenure at GMA, you started the Center of Heart Attack, Stroke, and Diabetes Prevention. What did you learn from your patients at this time? What got you there?
Well, you know, in family practice, we deal with people from cradle to grave, so to speak, and meaning we deliver babies, we see infants, we see older people. And after a few years of family practice, you start seeing people in middle age and older who have totally preventable diseases. And so you start thinking, well, maybe we should start preventing these diseases instead of waiting until they happen and then trying to treat them. So, you know, in our country, we don't have a healthcare system. We have a disease management system.
Whoops. Yes.
So we wait until diseases occur, and then we try to treat them. So we're very good at treating acute problems, you know, like an acute heart attack or an automobile accident or other trauma, but we're not so good at treating all these preventing and treating all these chronic diseases that people seem to get in this country, such as diabetes, high blood pressure, high cholesterol, heart disease, dementia, cancer, and so forth.
Okay, so you were treating. And what turned you around to work towards prevention?
Well, so first of all, most people in this country die from heart disease, heart attacks, and also strokes. You know, people always think it's cancer, but number one killer is actually heart disease. Mm-hmm. And so if you want to try to prevent something, then that would be heart attacks and strokes. And almost all of them are preventable, but unfortunately that's not happening because of this huge industry that's been built up, to treat the disease instead of prevent it.
Pharmaceutical companies, what you're saying?
Well, pharmaceutical companies and cath labs and hospitals and cardiac surgeons and interventional cardiologists and so forth who look at heart disease as a plumbing problem that needs to be fixed rather than a disease that's really a medical disease that can be prevented in the first place. And if it occurs, it can actually be reversed through nutrition. And so to sort of get back to your question, the reason I started this heart attack prevention program at Glenwood Medical is because if you want to try to prevent something, that would be a logical thing to try to prevent, the main killer in this country, heart disease. And again, you know, almost all heart attacks are preventable. So I started this heart attack, stroke, and diabetes prevention center at Glenwood Medical about 14 years ago. And you know, like most physicians, I was trained in medical school about pills and procedures as being the cure-all for everything. And only later in my career, about 5 years ago, did I learn about the power of food.
How did you learn about the power of food?
I learned about this from a nurse practitioner, and I think nurse practitioners are usually more open-minded about thinking outside the box than physicians are. And she was a friend of my wife's and mine, and she suggested that we read a book called The China Study about the biggest epidemiologic study that's ever been done on nutrition. So epidemiologic refers to you study a big group of people, see what diseases they get, and see what they eat, mm-hmm. and try to figure out what the connection is. So The China Study is a book about this big epidemiologic study, and my wife and I read it and found it so compelling, we immediately went plant-based. And luckily for me, my wife is a good cook, so I've not suffered a day in my life since we started doing this.
And Kathy is a nurse. Is she still practicing?
She's a nurse practitioner. She worked for Planned Parenthood for years, and she retired a couple of years ago.
Okay. Plant-based. Talk about plant-based diet.
Well, so, you know, it's obvious to everybody that there are lots of different diets out there and lots of different theories about what the best diet is. But most of the diets out there really don't have good science to support them. And the diet that's got the most scientific support is plant-based whole foods, and that means unprocessed foods. Moderately low-fat diet, which has been shown to reverse heart disease. Now, no other diet has been shown to reverse heart disease. So this was shown by Dean Ornish. So let me first say that most cardiologists are not into preventing heart disease. It's not how they're trained. It's not how they make their money. But Dr. Ornish is an exception. He's a cardiologist in California. And he took people 25 years ago with bad heart disease, and he did arteriograms on them. In other words, he put, you know, dye in their coronary arteries in their in their heart, and their major blockages, and then he put them on this diet. And 3 years later, nobody was worse, and a lot of these people, the blockages had totally gone away.
Now, can I ask, he was doing this, was he also giving them medications to break up the cholesterols, or?
You know, I don't know the answer to that for sure, but I mean, I think he took these people, and some of them might have already been on medications, but, you know, medications have never been shown to do this. They have not been shown to reverse heart disease.
All right, that's a good basis for anyone who has a history of heart disease in the family, who has a heart issue themselves, to start listening and start reading.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. And there's some good books out there. There's a book called Beat the Heart Attack Gene by Dr. Brad Bale, B-A-L-E, and his nurse practitioner, Amy Donen, D-O-N-E-E-N. And I recommend that to people who already have heart disease. And so this book is not so much about lifestyle modification, although it's talked about as the most powerful thing there is versus any medications. But to Bale and Donen, lifestyle modification means the Mediterranean diet, which is kind of a moderation diet. And Dr. Esselstyn, who spoke in Carbondale a couple of years ago, actually, is a hero of mine in this plant-based nutrition field. And he wrote a book called Prevent and Reverse Heart Disease. And he's got a chapter in the book called Moderation Kills. And what he means by that is that people on a Mediterranean diet are still dying from heart disease where they're not on a total plant-based diet.
Hmm. Something I read in your article in yesterday's post, you are educating us. You are teaching us. You are at Third Street Center, and you have open consultations that are free. You tell me about what you are doing today to help.
Well, you know, for years I've had this passion to prevent heart attacks and strokes and diabetes. You know, type 2 diabetes is also preventable. And as of 5 years ago, after reading a China study book, part of my passion is to teach people about the power of nutrition. You know, it's not all about pills, and it's also not all about cholesterol. A lot of it's about inflammation. And and so I am trying to teach people about the power of food, and I do that by these articles. So actually, I've been doing these articles every Tuesday for about a year and a half, I believe, for the Post Independent. The article you read was just the, I think, the fifth or sixth article in a particular series. But so I've been doing that for a while, and I think that reaches more people than I ever reached when I was actually seeing patients in the office. I mean, I can't walk down the street without people walking up to me and say, "Oh, I read your article, and it changed my, I changed my diet, and it changed my life. I lost weight. My blood pressure is fine now. My blood sugar is better. My cholesterol is better, and I feel better."
Whoa, here's something that you said to me. This person said, "I did this, I did that, I changed this, I changed that." That is a highly motivated person. What kind of stumbling blocks do you find with those of us who have spent all these years not really taking care of our health with food, seriously, or looking at it as...
Well, so I see probably somewhat of a skewed population, you know, because if they're going to come and see me, they're interested to in hearing what I have to say. So most of those people are, you know, have some motivation in the first place to maybe change a little bit. And sure, there are people who don't change, but I think it's important that people hear the truth. So there's a lot of paternalistic attitude in medicine, and that's the thing about the Mediterranean diet. I mean, this committee that said the Mediterranean diet is healthy, they knew very well that the healthiest diet was the one I'm promoting, you know, the plant-based, moderate, low-fat, whole foods diet. They knew, evidence was very clear, and they knew that. But their approach was, well, the people aren't going to do this for the most part, so let's not tell them about it. Let's just tell them about the Mediterranean diet, which is kind of a moderate diet. And I think that's the wrong approach. I think we need to be telling people what the truth is, yes, and let them make up their mind. You know, we should give them enough respect instead of telling them what to do, and tell them the truth and let them decide.
Yeah. Empowering them. That's what it is. Yeah. You're not pushing, forcing, bullying, empowering.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Question, which I hope I can remember. I just lost that train of thought. Do you ever do that?
Do I what?
Ever do that, lose your train of thought?
No, never.
No.
But I'm only 75. I think you're 76.
Yeah, you're still a youngin. Still a youngin. My question. You're on a plant-based diet. Tell me, I want to know, what do you eat? What's your favorite dish? How do you prepare it? Give me your breakfast, lunch, dinner if you're a 3B.
Well, first of all, I don't prepare it. My wife does.
Except good for girl, breakfast. Kathy.
So call Kathy, And I am involved in, you know, doing PowerPoint presentations, and Artis Hoffman is a lady who works with me who does cooking classes, mm-hmm, and so forth. But, for breakfast, I have oatmeal, and usually steel-cut oatmeal, because mm-hmm, that's the least processed oatmeal, and you can buy it in bulk and at Whole Foods, for example. And I put cinnamon on it. I put a handful of walnuts on it. I put a tablespoon of chia seeds, a tablespoon of flax seeds to get omega-3, mm-hmm, and I put some organic blueberries that I buy from Costco. Mm-hmm. On it, and
I'm so hungry.
And then I have two pieces of toast made out of Ezekiel bread that has a lot of fiber and very little sugar and no salt. And I put unsweetened applesauce on it. So lunch, you know, we usually have leftovers, but I always make a big salad for lunch and put some beans on it, because we should be eating legumes every day, which is
protein.
Beans and lentils. Well, beans, lentils, and chickpeas. I also, by the way, put a handful of organic edamame in my oatmeal.
Oops. Well, I can go for that in my salad or as a side, but in my oatmeal, the oatmeal sounded great.
It actually tastes pretty good. You'd be surprised.
I can believe
it. And then Kathy makes lots of different things. I mean, ethnic dishes sometimes, like curries, although she tries not to use coconut milk because that actually has a lot of saturated fat and is not a health food.
Okay. Almond milk?
Or Japanese food. My wife is third generation, mm-hmm, Japanese American. Yeah, so almond milk. So on my cereal, by the way, I put unsweetened almond milk or unsweetened organic soy milk on that.
So what I'm hearing you say right now, it sounds good. Sounds edible.
Yeah.
So eating a protein-based foods are good tasting. We can make them good tasting.
Oh, absolutely. You know, instead of thinking about what you can't eat any longer, this opens up a whole new door to some very wonderful, tasty cooking. And if you ever want to see how good this food can taste, go to the Pyramid Bistro in Aspen. It's above the Explorer Bookstore.
Okay.
Martin Oswald is the chef owner of that restaurant, and he's the master of this kind of cooking. He is in one of Dr. Furman's books, for example. Dr. Furman is one of the giants in the plant-based nutrition field, and wrote a book called Eat to Live and the End of Heart Disease, mm-hmm, and some other books.
Mm-hmm. I have a question.
Yeah.
Sorry to interrupt you. Talk about seniors.
Okay.
And We talk about wintertime inactivity. A lot of the reasons that they're not active is because they don't go out or don't want to go out. So they're slowing down their body metabolism with not being active. How does my diet change? Or how should it change?
I don't think it should change. I think the answer to your question is that seniors need to be active year-round, just like the rest of us. And it's so important. I mean, the older you get, the more important it is that you stay active. If you don't use it, you lose it. And so seniors need to find a way to be active in the wintertime, you know, and we live in a place where it's snowy and icy sometimes in the winter. A lot of us that like to ski wish it would be snowier right now.
And I understand you are a skier.
A Nordic skier, you
a
know.
A Nordic skier.
Being raised in Aspen, I've kind of been there and done that with alpine skiing, and I just love to Nordic ski, skate ski and classic ski. But anyway, so there are lots of opportunities for our seniors to be active. I mean, they can go to the community center. They can join Silver Sneakers. They can, you know, buy a treadmill and put it in their house. I've never found that people use exercycles much if they buy those. I'm sure there's some exceptions, so I wouldn't recommend that. But I think people do use treadmills. I mean, they'll walk on a treadmill, and, you know, they can listen to a book on tape or watch TV.
And that is total 100%. It builds, it allows the respiration, cardiovascular, everything, the treadmill.
Correct.
It's perfect.
And so not only does activity throughout the year and year after year help prolong life, the most important thing is it improves quality of life. So, you know, so much of aging is loss of strength. And so it's very important to get aerobic exercise at least 30 minutes a day. And what I tell people is they should exercise hard enough so they can talk but not sing. In other words, if they can't even talk when they're exercising, they need to back off a little bit. But if they could sing a song, they need to push themselves harder.
I like that one.
That's a poor man's heart rate monitor.
I like that heart rate.
And I should also do strength training twice a week. You know, spend 20 minutes twice a week doing strength training.
I can see
to maintain,
that.
To maintain strength, because otherwise people lose strength as they age.
Speaking of this, muscles, protein, and muscle loss. So because of lack of use with our aging and not being active, period.
Correct.
Getting a protein intake to help strengthen those muscles. What would I do?
Well, so we've been convinced by the dairy industry and the beef industry that we need way more protein than we really need or than is even healthy for us. And plant proteins are clearly healthier than animal proteins in the first place. And secondly, people always ask that question, where do you get your protein? So I tell them the same places, the place that horses and elephants get their protein. I mean, these are big, strong animals, and they're totally plant-based, right?
I'm not too yes. I hear that, and I visualize that. So I know I'm not going to be the one that's going to go out there and chew on the grass or pull off the leaves, but we do have some good providers of good products, good vegetables, fruit, beans in our community, whether they're at Whole Foods, whether they're at City Market, because that's where we are with most of our shopping. You know, people go to Costco, yes, and we've only got a couple of minutes. My gosh.
Or the Dandelion Market. We should mention that.
The beautiful Dandelion Market. Thank you for being there in Carbondale. You betcha. You betcha. Greg, it's quick. It's over. We've talked about plant-based foods for a few minutes, getting healthier, staying active, keeping our lives full and healthy. I thank you so much for being here. Luke, for engineering for me. I can't do the board and talk at the same time. I'm Diane Johnson with Senior Matters. I just want to remind you, Remember, the more you work your mind, the greater the cognitive reserve and greater your ability to withstand the inevitable challenges of aging. Read, walk, talk, share life, live it up, and dance. Life is good and filled with wonderful dreams of all things possible. Thank you for joining us today. Bye for now.